Hi, today is August 20th, 2016, and this is Comics News Podcast number 82. It's been a while, but Jay Stone and I are back. And today we're going to be talking about Suicide Squad. There are some spoilers. Actually, there's lots of spoilers. But I figured a movie's been out long enough that if you were interested in seeing it, you've probably seen it. And if you weren't interested, well, you probably don't care about this podcast anyway. Okay, so it did not get a good rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but you know, I kind of enjoyed it. It wasn't a great movie, but I enjoyed it. How about you, Jay?
Oh, yeah, I had a lot of fun. Surprisingly, my family liked it better than me.
Really?
Yeah. But I'll tell you, full disclosure, I did see it for free.
Oh.
T-Mobile. I have T-Mobile.
Yeah.
And T-Mobile Tuesdays, that week it came out, it premiered, had a special where you could get a free ticket.
Wow.
To see Suicide Squad. But it had to be on Friday.
Yeah.
But anytime Friday. And you just had to pick the location.
Wow, that's quite a deal.
Yeah. So actually, they've done that before. They did that with Warcraft. But I didn't want to see it. Warcraft.
Yeah.
So but this one I wanted to see. So when I saw it, I told my daughter and my wife and my other daughter. And then you had to do it on your own phone, right?
Right.
You could do it four times on one phone. It's like one per phone number. So that day on the Tuesday before it premiered, we were all texting each other. And then because we had to, not only did we have to get it on our own T-Mobile, Mobile Tuesday app,
right?
We had to get it on our own Fandango app.
Oh.
Yeah, because it was linked with Fandango, right? To promote Fandango and promote the movie. So for us, it was a very good free movie.
Wow. Good deal. We didn't pay.
All we paid was like, I think we ate at home too. I'm not even sure we had popcorn.
Wow.
I don't remember if we ate there. I think we ate at home. It was, so we were thoroughly satisfied. That being said, my family liked it better than me.
That's interesting. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Let's review what the other reviewers have said. So if you go to IMDb. It shows a 6.8 out of 10 rating. I think that's audience, though, right? That's not reviewers or anything.
I don't know how IMDb works.
Which is owned by Amazon, by the way. And Rotten Tomatoes, which is splits it. So it has a critics rating, kind of averages the critics. And it's got a terrible 26% Rotten Tomatoes rating, which is a splat. But the split, the audience score is not bad. It's about, basically, it's in line with IMDb, which is 69%. And again, IMDb was 6.8, Rotten Tomatoes is 69%, so that's pretty close. Again, kind of in agreement with me, at least. It's not a great movie, but it wasn't terrible.
Oh, no, I think the audience score, the first weekend, the audience score was like 75%. And now you say it's like 69?
Right.
That's about right. I wouldn't have given it 75, but I don't give a lot of movies that high anyway. In my mind, if it's like...
You've got something dinging, by the way.
I know what it is. Oh, I know what it is. Sorry.
Yeah.
Somehow, for some reason, my iMessages is downloading every message.
Oh, interesting. Right. Oh, on your Mac?
Yeah, on my Mac.
Ah.
Because I haven't used my Mac in a while.
Yeah, sorry. So everything's coming. Stop. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
Stop it. Anyway, I thought it was, to me, it's like 69 is probably around there. I may have given it a little bit less. I think my mate gave it more.
I think I'm in agreement with that audience average score of 69%. It was an entertaining movie. Didn't hate it. Kind of liked it. Didn't think it was, boy, what would be equivalent of, well, some of the Batman movies on the DC side were good. Captain America was good,
The original one?
Yeah.
Yeah, the original one is probably, to me, the original one's the best.
Yeah, I would say more than good. Very good to great.
Yeah, yeah. Captain America was really well done.
Yeah.
The first Avenger, yeah.
Galaxy of the Guardians, I thought was great. So, not quite at that level, but certainly I thought Suicide Squad is better than that travesty called Green Lantern.
Way better than that.
It was better than all the Superman movies. I bought but still have not watched Batman versus Superman, so I'll have to reserve judgment on comparison to that. But I enjoyed it. I thought it wasn't a complete failure like some of like Green Lantern, for example.
Well, I think Batman v Superman, the critics rating was overly harsh. I thought Suicide Squad, the critics rating were overly harsh. Mm. My family liked it because it was villains. And they liked it because they felt that they made the villains more, they humanized the villains a bit, even though they are horrible people.
Well, some of them yeah. never really got humanized, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't think some of them were meant to be. You know, the way they finally played up the character.
Right, like the one that got killed.
Yeah, I mean, I like that actor too. I don't remember his name, but I've seen him on TV shows. And I thought he's actually a pretty good actor, but you could kind of tell from the previews. He didn't really talk much. You didn't really see him much.
Yeah, no, Slipknot was the character, right?
Yeah, Slipknot.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, that guy's going to get...
Offed. He's a red shirt.
Yeah, he's definitely a red shirt, and I felt bad for that actor. But, you know, he served the character served the purpose that he was meant to serve.
Yeah.
And my daughter understood that. And they liked Deadshot the most.
Really? For me, it was Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn was really well done.
Which surprised me because I'm not really a Harley Quinn fan.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not.
One of the few. She's so popular, right?
Right. I mean, she's very popular. A very popular character. And I'm not sure if it's because she didn't originate in the comic books, which is where I tend to, you know most of the characters. And Harley Quinn originated in the Bruce Timm Batman universe, right?
Yes. The Timmiverse.
Yeah. So, you know, and I watched the Bruce Timm's Batman. But, I don't know, Harley Quinn in the animated series, not one of my favorites. It's okay. Always interesting. But in this movie... That character really shone. Most well developed. The only one that really got a full origin in the movie.
That's true.
And, you know, it's obviously even more than Deadshot. Although, you know, obviously Will Smith is a big star here. Harley Quinn was the big character in terms of being the most well developed with a full origin story and the whole bit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she was good. She was good. I thought Deadshot was good. And, like, I liked Killer Croc.
Killer Croc! That was a surprise. You know, Killer Croc, that character is usually kind of a nothing character, right? I mean, Killer Croc is a really mean killer guy.
Well, nowadays, right? But, you know, I have the issue where he first premiered.
Okay.
And when I read that, he was a lot different than how they make him nowadays, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in the sense that he's like this supernatural, otherworldly character, when really he's just a guy who has a skin problem.
Yeah.
And he was actually, you know, it's a lot about racism too, yeah?
Yeah.
His character. The experiences he had and everything. I actually, he's one of my favorite characters from the comics.
Not one of my favorite characters in the comics, but I will say this. I really enjoyed... The way the character was written in this story, I like the fact that... What was he carrying? Like a teddy bear or a little horse or some kind of doll thing, right?
Oh, no, that was Boomerang.
Was that Boomerang? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Boomerang was one that liked the pink unicorn.
Okay. But Killer Croc had some really good one-liners, you know?
He did, actually. He was good. I think the movie suffered a little bit from the editing process.
Yeah.
They had to cram a lot in this... And if you believe what the trades say, that there was a conflict between the studio and Ayer's vision. But I would like to have seen more of Croc.
Well, maybe we'll get an Ultimate Edition, like Batman versus Superman, and we'll get to see more of Croc in that version.
I hope so, because I like the Ultimate Edition way more of Batman v Superman. I'm hoping they'll do a director's cut or something, or Suicide Squad, to see what the original... vision would have been. Because Croc was underutilized. It wasn't fully realized, and you could tell there was more there.
Well, yeah, I wasn't too worried about Croc. You know, the two characters that I thought were either not... Well, I thought Captain Boomerang wasn't done right at all. And I thought Katana was just a very two-dimensional character. Which disappointed me, because I really like those two characters.
But I don't like Boomerang. I never liked Boomerang.
Oh, really? I love Boomerang.
Of the Flash's rogues,
yeah,
I like a Cold.
Captain Cold and Heatwave, you know, but Captain Boomerang, I mean, come on, he's like not exactly like Batman, but he's more like Green Arrow, you know, he's Green Arrow with boomerangs, except he's a bad guy.
Yeah, I was never really into Boomerang, Captain Boomerang. I liked Mirror Master, because I always thought that was really interesting how he just uses any reflective surface.
Right.
I mean, that was just like, wow, if he really had that power, he probably would be able to rule the world. But
close,
he just has very low, he has low goals.
Well, you know, but that's true of almost all the superheroes, right? I mean, Green Lantern, the Flash. If there is somebody truly like that, you know, if there is somebody like the Flash, or the Reverse Flash, for that matter, you know, truly evil Flash, that character would be unstoppable. Go through walls.
Well, the one I always think of is Spider-Man.
Oh?
Oh, yeah. Because that kid is a super genius.
Right.
And yet, he is the poorest guy on the planet.
That was always funny, wasn't
he? He's like the Charlie Brown of all superheroes.
He is the Charlie Brown of superheroes.
And I'm always like, Peter Parker, my God, you're like super genius. Why? He makes this tiny little device that you press a button... And this non-Newtonian fluid shoots out and becomes as strong as steel. I'm like, this is, even when I was very young, I went, this is crazy. This guy should be super rich. Why is he always like the
scrambling around for rent and so forth.
Yeah, he's really like the Charlie Brown superhero. Yeah. I always felt bad for him because I always thought he deserved more. But I understand that's part of the character's arc that makes him appealing, right? Is the fact
he's the underdog.
He's the underdog all the time.
Yeah.
So true.
So that's interesting. Anyway, I always liked Boomerang. And, you know, I got to say, I never realized Boomerang was Australian.
He always was.
Yeah, you know, I think I noticed it in the original Suicide Squad comic books, but in The Flash, it never occurred to me that. I mean, obviously, in a Boomerang, Australia, sure, I get it. But as a kid, it never occurred to me. For some stupid reason. Or I always thought everybody spoke with American accent regardless of where they came from.
That's true. You never think about the accents, really.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the comic book. Everyone, because in my mind, everyone just sounds the same.
Right. Well, you know, it's like watching old movies, right? Everybody, all the old ancient Rome, they all had British accents.
Yeah.
They're all British. Right? They should be speaking some version of ancient Italian, but no.
Even if you're in another galaxy far, far away, you're still British, right?
That's right.
All the evil empire is all British, right?
Yeah. Oh, and Doctor Who, the good guys are all British.
Yeah.
But I
agree with you about Katana.
But, you know, the one thing I liked was they kept her backstory consistent with the comic books, which surprised me because they're wreaking havoc with backstories in this DC film verse.
That's true. But, you know, for her... She has a great backstory. You don't want to change it.
Well, they changed some great backstories, I thought.
That's true. But it's like, you know, they were smart enough to recognize this is the one. Hey, let's just leave it alone.
Don't mess with it.
The sword captures the soul.
Soul Seeker, whatever it's called. Yeah.
Of the victims. The husband being caught in the sword.
Right.
I mean, that's awesome. You know, I just wish they showed it more. And I was surprised that they kept her as pretty much Japanese speaking throughout the whole film. I thought she would speak English.
That was a little surprising. I thought, you know, and I don't know how old the actress is that's portraying Katana.
She's young.
But she seemed too young because in the comic books and in the backstory and the movies, which they kept intact, she was a mother of two. She was married, you know. You'd think she'd be at least, and this happened years in the past, right, that her husband and two children died, so you would think she'd be at least in her early 30s. minimum.
Yeah, so, they cast a young actress for this.
Yeah, so that was the only thing that bothered me. It was, you know, the age thing, same as in Gotham, basically. Except this time it's too young instead of too old.
What do you think of June Moon?
The actress, the character, or?
Yeah. The performance and then the character in the film.
Boy, you know. The June Moon, you know, separate from the Enchantress. I thought it was kind of two-dimensional.
You know,
It didn't seem... There wasn't much there, right? Because most of the time she was in the Enchantress mode.
I like the Enchantress, to be honest. I like that character.
You liked her as the big bad?
Oh, yeah, I did. Because I went, well, yeah. I never liked it in the comic book, so why she was never like the super big bad, because it made sense that she would be. And so I actually like that part. And it actually follows a storyline from the comic, but it was Nightshade at that time. I think so. You know the one she came from?
Another dimension.
Yeah, she was a character that came from Charlton Comics.
Right.
From the, I think it's Nightshade, right?
Right, it was Nightshade, yeah, from the Captain Atom and Blue Beetle universe and all that, right?
Yeah, because she's supposed to be an incubus or succubus?
I don't know if she's an incubus or succubus, but I know that she is not of Earth. She comes from another dimension.
Yeah, and that was the story, that was what that storyline they had. Oh, super huge spoiler, people. That was the storyline. Some of this was inspired by was the incubus succubus storyline, which I went at first. I was like, okay. Then I went, and then when I read about it, I went, oh, that's right. That was because it wasn't Nightshade. I was kind of thrown off. I didn't realize that's what they're drawn to or drawing from.
And you know, one thing that bothered me, it might be just because my memory's failing, and I'm not remembering correctly, but. My recollection is, at least in the early days of the Enchantress, she was a good guy.
Yeah, she was, I think...
Briefly.
For a very brief time, but she was one of those where DC was playing with multiple personality.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Rose and Thorn.
Yeah.
And June Moon, the June Moon Enchantress character was kind of the same way.
Where except she was kind of except good they really were two different... Yeah. Yeah, but it was I kind of missed the witch's hat and the green outfit and all that, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, we go with this whole other dimension. I forget what color her skin was, but it was like a gray kind of demonic looking skin color or something.
Until she got more of her powers.
Yeah.
Then she became I guess more fully realized. That's how I interpreted it, that she wasn't fully
powered up.
Yeah, until her brother helped her and.
Right.
And the other character that I did not expect to like, was El Diablo.
Yeah, you know, I'm not even familiar with that character, but I did like that character in the movie. I've never seen him in the comic books. I think
I did not. I was not aware of this one. I only remember the one that was he was an attorney or attorney. He was like a district attorney in Texas or something.
Hmm.
And he was a non-powered, at one time he was just a non-powered superhero that just went around. You know, he was kind of like a Batman kind of character.
Right, right.
But he had kind of a mythos about him that scared people and stuff. Like people were like, oh, is he really a devil or something?
Right.
I picked it up for a little while because I liked Gerard Jones. He was the writer at the time.
Yeah, excellent writer.
So I wasn't that familiar with this version of the character. But I really liked that character. I really connected with him, and my younger daughter really liked him too. I don't know about the others in my family.
Yeah, I thought he was a sympathetic character. In the end,
He was. I was, and I read about his backstory when I heard about I think I read about it before. Yeah, I read about it before.
Right.
I saw the film, so I want to know who this was because I wasn't familiar with this particular character.
Right.
And then when they pretty much kept his backstory together of how he lost control of his powers and killed a woman and children.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I could tell, in the film, they made it his wife or his girlfriend. I couldn't remember if it was wife or girlfriend.
I think it was girlfriend, his
wife. Yeah, it was his wife. His wife and his children.
Right.
And that way, wow, that's even more so.
Right.
And I liked, he was the first, like, fire... You know, powered character that I've seen in movies that actually would use his fire to create shapes.
Yeah, I was just thinking if the Human Torch ever did that in the comic books. I can't remember. I don't think so.
I think he did it when he would draw things in the sky.
Yeah, but not like fully formed shapes like this guy did, right? Like El Diablo did.
Yeah, like this guy, like El Diablo had this really... his pyrokinetic power was pretty...
It was almost like Green Lantern's ring, except with fire.
Yeah. Yeah, because you don't even see that with Pyro.
Yeah.
In X-Men.
Yeah, so that was interesting. But, okay, so... now we get to full spoilers all over the place. So in this movie, I kind of knew Batman was going to appear. Because that had been, you know, telegraphed to the audience way before you go into the theater. But I was a little surprised that Flash made a brief appearance.
Yeah, you know, and I read about it before.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, someone had leaked it. That it was going to happen, and I saw that I saw the title before I could stop.
Oh. So, that was, I guess, Batman, again, not a surprise, but it was nice to see the new Batman, especially since I haven't really, like I said, I bought, but I haven't watched the Batman versus Superman Ultimate Edition yet, so I haven't seen Ben Affleck as Batman. It was sort of interesting.
He's a lot better in Batman versus Superman.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. As Batman?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Batman versus Superman has the best Batman fight scene I have ever seen.
Okay.
In fact, I personally love Batman versus Superman. I agree. But I also like Man of Steel. So.
Oh, yeah, which I didn't like.
Yeah, I'm one of those. But there's a point in the film that I'll want to watch that part of the film because I thought that is just really well done. I mean, like a fight, and not just that, a fight scene in almost any comic book movie that didn't seem reused. Like there were parts of Winter Soldier,
yeah,
that I thought some of the choreography was just really, really well done.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some parts of, like, some of the other films where you see people, like, grab onto their neck and twirl around it and throw people over, and I'm going, right. I've seen this way too many times. And it seems like I see it with every female Marvel character in every film.
Right.
And it's like, you know, kind of, like, can't you guys come up with something else? Mm. But when you see that that sequence of Batman versus Superman... It really shows how he uses everything around him to beat up people. It's really well done.
Kind of like Jason Bourne.
Yes! But more brutal. Because this is the Batman that killed.
Yeah. Okay, well, I got to watch the movie. I was unhappy when Superman killed. Now I'm unhappy that Batman kills, but yeah. Still. Okay, so more spoilers. This is more Divergent stuff. You know, it's beginning to really bother me. Okay, so let me go backwards a little bit. The Marvel TV and film universes are more or less in sync. I mean, to the point where the second Captain America movie led to the Hydra stuff that bled right into the TV universe with Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, literally, that next week after the movie opened, Hydra, you know, the Hydra reveal in Captain America appeared on TV.
And they finally made it a good TV show.
Yeah. And they even brought over, I think Sif came over from the Thor movie over to... At any rate, so there was some consistency. And they refer, they don't, you don't see the superheroes, but you hear references to, you know, the various goings-on. So there's consistency there. But the TV, I call it the DC movie-verse, the Superman, Batman, Suicide Squad universe, and what I call the Arrowverse, the DC TV series that got kickstarted by Green Arrow are completely different.
Yep.
For one thing, I guess I don't think this is a spoiler. I think it's happened last season or two seasons ago. Amanda Waller is dead in the Arrowverse.
Oh, they were told they had to kill her off.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because she was going to be in the film.
Well, see, that makes no sense, right? I mean, in the Marvel Universe, that would never have happened. Because the characters are consistent between the TV shows and the movies.
Yeah.
So that bothered me a lot. And then the characterization of the Flash. I enjoy the Flash TV show, don't get me wrong. But I always thought that Flash is a little too glib, more like Wally West than Barry Allen. At least the Barry Allen I know from the, you know, Carmine Infantino days.
Oh, yeah, they're making the Flash more like Barry Allen. I mean, not Barry Allen, more like Wally West.
Wally West, yeah.
And even in the TV show, I don't think he's Barry Allen. I think he's more like Wally West.
Yeah.
They made him so young.
Yeah. And the Flash in the movies is even younger. He's like a teenager. He's like Spider-Man age.
Well, yeah, because they cast Ezra Miller.
Yeah.
But Ezra Miller, he's such a good actor. I'm okay with it. I don't have a problem with that. I actually, there's a crazy theory that they might, because DC's movie, TV universe, it's all multiverses, right?
Mm.
What I would love...
Wait, not all. Just Supergirl right now.
No. Like, the movie universe is a separate multiverse from the Arrowverse.
Yes, okay.
Right? It's a separate universe, right? So, they're doing a multiversal concept, right?
I don't know. To me, it's just, like, lack of consistency.
Oh, no. They've Johns has basically said that. That it's a multi-universe concept. So that the Arrowverse is its own universe... The DC movie universe is its own universe.
Okay.
So what I would actually hope for, what I really would love, is that they would have a multiverse crossover. I would love to see that. Did someone online talked about that for Flash?
That well, to me, it doesn't make sense. I mean, for that to happen to me, it doesn't make sense at all. Because then we would have two Barry Allen Flashes, which I don't think we've ever seen.
But we should be able to see.
I mean, yeah, in an infinite number of universes, sure, I understand. But we've simply never seen that. It's never been an interesting... In other words, of all the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of stories that DC has written since 1938 with Action Number One, they have never seen fit to have Barry Allen, two versions of Barry Allen.
So it's about time. They had two Supermen for the longest time.
Well, they had lots of Supermen.
Two Green Lanterns.
No. Well, not two Hal Jordan Green Lanterns.
Well, that's true. But they had two Bruce Wayne Batman.
Yeah, but that was explained by different universes, right?
Which is what, right? They're two universes.
No, but what I'm saying is that, those are also Superman, the Clark Kent Superman, Bruce Wayne Batman, Diana Prince Wonder Woman are common to both Earth 1 and Earth 2.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But Green Lantern, Flash are unique in each universe. Different secret identity, different costume. Green Arrow is common to both Earth 1 and Earth 2, although that was a whole... That was, just even more confusing. And then there are unique characters like the Sandman and... Star Spangled Kid and, that sort of thing. Starman. That's, unique to one, not the other. But Flash, Flash, there are two Flashes, right? There's a Jay Garrick Flash, which we now are Earth 3, which is even more confusing in Arrowverse. Since, to me, Earth 3 is always the evil Earth.
It should be Crime Syndicate.
Right, exactly. So, at any rate, I'm just saying that they're making it much more complicated than it needs to be.
Well, I have to agree with you. It is very complicated.
I mean...
I would still love to see two Barry Allens in one movie. Or one.
I mean, two Clark Kents are always interesting, as we're actually now seeing in the new rebooted Superman Rebirth.
But that's in the same universe.
Right. I mean, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, because, when Barry Allen went to Earth 2 and he found himself,
mm-hmm.
I actually really liked that.
I did, too. I also liked it that the other Barry Allen wasn't the Flash.
Yeah. That was actually pretty cool.
Yeah. See, so I'm okay with that.
I can just imagine Barry Allen from the Arrowverse meeting an even younger Barry Allen who has an even weirder looking costume.
Well, here's what I'm saying then. So in 1985 or 86, when DC rebooted everything with Crisis on Infinite Earths, yeah, they did it because the storylines of the multiverse had become so convoluted and complicated,
yeah,
that new readers had no idea what was happening.
That was true.
You know, when they entered the stream of comics at any given point.
You had to have read a lot of comics.
Yeah. I mean, I could follow because I had literally read a lot of comics, right?
Yeah, I could follow. I had read a lot of comics by that point.
And that's the way I feel about the DC film verse and TV Arrowverse now. It's way too complicated for the casual fan to enjoy. You know, they look at the Flash on TV, they look at Flash in the movies, they go, that's not even the same character.
Well, that's true. They aren't the same character.
Right.
Definitely true.
Even though they're supposed to be. And it's going to get even more complicated because now Superman is going to enter the Arrowverse.
Well, is Supergirl part of the Arrowverse now? We're not sure.
But we know that they're moving to CW. We do know that Flashpoint is happening.
Yeah.
So the simpler solution would be to have Flashpoint, at its conclusion, move Supergirl and Superman into the Arrowverse.
I would agree. I think we talked about that before.
We did.
Yeah.
And, you know, from a story writing point of view, instead of having to do dimension hopping all the time to get them together, it makes a heck of a lot of sense. It's just way easier for the casual, you know, viewer to understand. Because now you've got four TV shows to try to figure out.
Four shows. Supergirl, Arrow, Flash, and Legends.
Right. Right?
And Legends is bringing Justice Society.
What's that?
Legends is going to bring in Justice Society.
Yep. So, you know, they've got complexity upon complexities now. Anyway, I mean, I'm okay. I'm okay keeping the movie universe separate from the TV universe, but having things like where once Amanda Waller's dead and other she's not, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it was a studio thing. But they can't kill Flash, right? Because Flash is just too popular. I mean, they can't do that, right? And they can't have, you know, they already killed off Deadshot in Arrowverse.
Yeah.
Right? So they can have Deadshot in the movie.
Right.
Right? But you can't kill off the main character of your TV show, right? So they're stuck with it.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And maybe, you know, basically, I mean, quite frankly, the DC Filmverse is not very popular. So it's more important to have the TV Arrowverse be more consistent than the DC Filmverse to be consistent. Mm. And I'm not even going to get me started on Gotham. Because, you know, that's on a completely different network and it's really messed up.
Are you going to watch it now that Fish Mooney's back?
Yeah, I know.
And she has superpowers that don't make any sense.
No, I really wish the character would just go away and stay away. It is a terrible character.
And what is it? Are they introducing... They're making...
Making what?
Like Poison Ivy, like old.
Poison Ivy old. I can't even remember who's playing Poison Ivy. Well, I don't think they've introduced her, have they?
Poison Ivy in Gotham was a young kid. And the next season, they're aging her.
Oh.
Which didn't make sense to me. I mean, she's like a very young kid.
That's right, because she's a friend of Selena Kyle.
Yeah, she looks younger than Selena Kyle.
Yeah.
And then they show the actress who's going to play her next year. She looks older than Selena Kyle. She looks like an adult.
I haven't seen that.
I mean, I don't know how they're going to explain that. Like, oh, what, does she, like, inject something from a plant that makes her old?
Yeah.
I don't know why they have to make all the villains so old.
Well, that's something we've discussed, and I'm in agreement with you. I don't get this whole age thing in the Gotham universe.
Maybe that's how in that universe Batman just dominates everything because all his villains are so old it's not that hard to defeat. I don't know. Could be, right?
Right. Well, everybody except Joker, right? Because we still haven't seen the Joker.
Well, have we? I hear he's coming back.
The one that died?
Yep, I heard that. I read that. That actor.
Well, you know, they have resurrected the dead in that series, so you know, it's not beyond the realm, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Oh, and the last thing I wanted to mention is that in the film verse, Amanda Waller knows that Bruce Wayne is Batman.
I was okay with that.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, because in Justice League Unlimited, she knew who he was.
Yeah, but in the comic books, the whole thing was Amanda Waller was trying to figure out who the Batman was. That was one of the driving forces early on.
Yeah, but I didn't actually care for that part in the comic. Because I collected Suicide Squad, I went...
Why is this so important?
Yeah, why do you care? What's the big deal? Why just Batman? I mean, if anything, you'd be like, find out who Superman is. Find out who Hal Jordan is, because he has the most powerful weapon in the universe.
Well, you know, actually, in the DC comic book universe, the President of the United States always knows who Superman is.
Does he?
Starting with JFK.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was just because Superman's the Boy Scout. He just, like, comes by and, hey, President, I'll help you. I didn't know he actually knew that he was Clark Kent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. That's kind of a spoiler for me. I liked it the other way around, where it was like even the president didn't know who he was.
Well, you know, there's a classic comic book that was supposed to be released in November 1963. But DC had to pull it because JFK was assassinated in a month, and it didn't appear till the 64, I think.
Oh.
Where Superman visits JFK. And JFK knows who he is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Some ways, but... Yeah, I kind of like it that no one knows who Superman is, because it almost seems even more ridiculous.
Of course, everybody knows who Flash is in the Arrowverse. So.
Everyone knows Arrow.
Yeah. There's not a lot of secret identities in the TV, you know, Arrowverse, in my opinion.
There's not.
So, okay, so any other final thoughts on Suicide Squad? I think we both kind of liked it.
I liked it. It was better than the critics gave it credit for.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest, when we walked out of there, my kids were convinced that the critics are just being lame.
Yeah, I went to see it with my daughter, and she also liked it.
Yeah, I haven't met anyone who was like, I've had people go, oh, it's not that great a movie, but I haven't heard anyone say they didn't like it or they hated it, or, I mean, the people I know.
Right.
Or were like, you know, they didn't enjoy, you know, they didn't mind paying the money they went to see it.
I felt like I spent my money well. You know, again, it's not as good as the first Captain America. It's not as good as Guardians of the Galaxy. Not as good as The Incredibles. But it was entertaining, and I felt I got my money's worth. It was not Green Lantern, where I wanted to get a refund after I saw that thing.
And, you know, for me, all I care about is, did I get my money's worth? And for me, it was free, so.
Yeah.
But I would have paid money to see this film.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have minded. I don't, you know, I don't need movies to be, like, the top echelon, like Dark Knight. I just want to, if I pay my $10.75 or whatever it is, was it worth it? And then I'm fine.
That's good. Okay, so hopefully we'll do another Comics News podcast sooner than... Boy, when was the last one we did? Like February?
Oh, it was a long time. But
it's been like 6 months, I think.
Yeah, we've both been really, really busy.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll do it more frequently. We've got a lot to talk about. You know, we still got to talk about the DC Rebirth. You've probably read more than I have. I've only been following the Superman stuff.
I have, but I'm going to start dropping some stuff.
Okay, and you can tell me why. I'll be interested to know what you're dropping.
Probably
and why.
Cost.
Which one?
It's just cost.
Cost, and, yeah.
You know, I can't justify that paying for that because it's like it's not that good.
Right.
And some things are disappointments, and some things, like I agree with you, Superman is awesome.
Yeah.
It's I like Superman, not Action Comics as much.
Okay, that'll be interesting. I've been following both, but I haven't decided which one I like more. Yet.
And they have a lot of great comics coming out of DC right now. In my mind, Peter Tomasi and those guys over there, his artists or the artists on the Superman.
Right.
Really great job.
Well, we've got a whole bunch of TV shows coming up this season.
Yeah.
The four, you know, Arrowverse shows plus Gotham.
Yeah.
Despite Fish Mooney returning, I'll probably watch it just to see what happens. Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. reboots soon. Not reboots, but restarts soon.
And Arrow is almost like a reboot.
Well, if it's Flashpoint, I mean, if Flash is going to go through Flashpoint, everything's going to be a reboot, right?
Well, already Arrow, all the people are gone, and he has to get a new crew.
Yeah.
He has, like, Wild Dog and a couple other people
Yeah.
that he's going to train, which I think is kind of good, because I think it's nice to bring in new characters.
Right.
Freshen it up.
Well, and, you know, as I said, this will never happen, but the ultimate would be to have, what's his name? Who's the guy who's playing Malcolm Merlyn? John Barrowman. And meet Captain Jack Harkness from Doctor Who. And Rip Hunter, who, you know, the actor who plays Rip Hunter was Rory in Doctor Who. So the two of them could meet their counterparts of Doctor
Who. He's from Doctor Who?
Yeah, he is. The guy who plays Rip Hunter.
Rip Hunter?
Yeah.
You may have mentioned it before, but I don't remember. I did not know that.
Yeah, he played Rory. Shoot, I can't remember the last name, but basically, he married the Amy Pond character. So he was one of the two human companions that followed Doctor Who around for several seasons.
In the modern Who?
The modern Who, yeah. Okay. The David Tennant. No, was it David Tennant or Matt Smith? Matt Smith, Doctor Who.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yep.
I guess Berlanti likes Doctor Who actors.
Yeah, so you know they could do that. Have their characters meet their other characters. It'd be fun. And the other thing I was going to suggest, you know, having seen or having not seen Batman v Superman, having read the various criticisms, is I think they need to have Batman meet Jason Bourne.
That would be awesome. And Batman would clearly win. He would kick Bourne.
I don't know.
Wait till you see the scene.
Okay.
When you see the scene, you're like, wow, that's how Batman... You know, when I saw the Nolan movies, I went, okay, that's how Batman's going to fight.
Yeah.
And then when I saw Batman v Superman, I went, no, that's how he would fight.
Well, you know, it always struck me that Batman as a human being, not ordinary human, but a human being, should fight a lot dirtier. That's what I always thought.
Oh, yeah. There's that. Yeah, because, I mean, how are you going to survive?
You're right. I mean, right, you're fighting these superhuman or amplified humans, or whatever you want to call them, you know, like Bane. You can't have a clean fight. You can't die.
No. Maybe that's why this Batman kills. He finally realized, I need more power.
Yeah.
I need extra firepower.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll try to get back a lot sooner than 4 or 5 months, whatever it was, or between our last two episodes.
Yeah.
But this has been Comics News Podcast number 82. I'm Todd Agasawara. My buddy Jay Stone. We finally got together, talked about Suicide Squad, and we'll be back soon, I hope. We'll talk to you again.